Busy week this week, huh? But like Micah said, the Lord has not forsaken us and has left us with many good promises. How many of you guys have examined the year we've had this year in the Word of God? Anybody yet? Well, if you haven't, then after today, maybe you will. Because this year has been filled with a lot of things that the Lord has blessed us with. And so it's just been awesome. It's been exciting. This time of year is very busy. And, you know, I tend to get amazed at humanity that around the holidays, it's easy to, you know, have your mind consumed with so many things. But the Lord's teaching us how to overcome that. He said, well, does that need overcoming? Well, sometimes. Because, you know, the Lord never leaves you. And the Lord is always present. Thank God for that. But in the holidays, I think if I was to examine one of my biggest enemies with the church, during the holidays, is the busy mind. Because when the Lord is putting things forth, it's easy for us to get caught up in busyness, right? I always wondered how one of the greatest holidays that represent the Lord could be so distracting. You ever wondered about that? But I think Julie said it well. Thank God we have Christmas. It is a good remembrance. So I wish all of you a Merry Christmas, that's for sure. And it's going to be a fun week. It's going to be a fun week. I try to use the holiday time as a good time to meditate and be refreshed and hear from the Lord. So I always look forward to those 2 weeks of holidays. I really do. So I encourage you to do the same. Do the same. And with that said, you know, we've got... matter of fact, Friday at lunch, we had some guys come out. Few of us usually meet on Fridays anyway, but then some extra guys showed up and that we weren't expecting, and had a pretty good group there. But what a meeting, man. I don't know if the people that was there thought about that meeting the way I did, but I'll tell you what, man, the Lord is on the move. And there is some fantastic things the Lord wants to do. And we always tend to focus, you know, every year we bring up this idea about, well, next year, what's next year going to be like? And I don't necessarily ever want to put a theme to a year, but I will say some things this morning that I hope to see next year. And I believe with all my heart that In the following year, with what God has done for us, next year is going to be a year for us to do more for God. And God has been so faithful to give us the word of the Lord. I want to provoke you next year. What are you going to do with what you've received? And so if it's not like I'm going to come here every week and say, oh, we're on this theme of do more for God. That's not what I'm going to do. But I will provoke you continually over the next several months to be active in the Word of God in ways that you never have. And that includes spirit and earth. And so there are things that God wants to do. But sometimes God does everything and then we do little. That is not the agreement that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's not the agreement he made with Noah. That's not the agreement he made with Jesus and Paul and Peter and John and James and so forth. Nor is it the agreement he made with us. And what am I talking about when I say agreement? Covenant. In the Bible, it's called a covenant. God makes a covenant. And when and here's one covenant, James. Finish this statement for me. You reap
what you sow.
Ah, you guys know. You reap what you sow. And I'm going to tell you, that's a principle of God. So therefore, do we want to apply that next year? You reap what you sow. Is God faithful to give back? Or let's put it this way, first and foremost, before I even say that, is God faithful to give? Is God a giver? Is God a taker? Not in the term of taking in selfishness. God, what'd you say, Paula? He receives back. There you go. So God is good at giving and receiving. See that? It's not unclean. God is not a taker. He is a giver and one who receives, because he is the one that built the principle of sowing and reaping. And if you sow to the Spirit, what will you reap? Eternal life? Life? Is that the kind of life we've been talking about, Megan, about resurrection life? So if we sow to the Spirit, will God give back to us eternal life? I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good agreement. But what if you sow to the flesh? What is it?
Corruption.
You guys already know all this. You have all the answers.
We don't have all.
See, we have book answers. Book answers. You can always tell the graduate who graduates from the books compared to the one that's been doing it for a while, can't you? The experience, the work of it. The work of being active and the ability to discern things. You can always tell when knowledge is working strong and we have answers, but we don't have experience. Let me ask you guys a question. Would you guys like to gain experience in the works of God? Well, if you will work with me coming up this year, I'll work with you and we'll get some experience. But here's the thing. The ones that really want to work in the kingdom are not lazy. They're fervent. They're diligent. They're faithful. They're committed to God. The ones that say they want to work in the kingdom but are lazy, those are the ones that say they'll go, but then they don't. What's the parable say? I would rather you say, I don't want to go, and then repent and then go, rather than say, I'll go, and then not go. That's a good parable in the gospel. Go find it and read it. You'll love it. But the idea is what I'm saying here. And so notice, James, you've been telling me that you've been bringing this up several times. Hebrews 11, 6. What's Jesus say about that?
That's the doctrine of Christ.
No, it ain't. Hebrews 11, 6.
Oh, that was about faith. It's a possibility.
Now, for those that didn't hear James online there because of the microphone, does God reward those who diligently seek him in faith? Wow. Is that what we're talking about here? So am I asking you just to come with no faith and try to do the works of God, or am I asking you to come in faith and let's believe God, and then according to Hebrews 6, in the second doctrine of Christ that is listed, you will have faith toward God. So think about that. Imagine having a word of faith in your heart, because we have been receiving a lot of words in this place. Have we not? Hey, God's never failed to give us truth and the Word of God. Look, we ain't perfect. And none of us here claim that, I hope. But we, as we grow, we can testify of this one thing. God has talked to us. And God has given us some hope and some love and some life. And He has healed us and raised us up and done many great things for us. That's true. But what a shame it would be if we didn't bring that back to the Lord and work in the kingdom for His name. What a shame that would be. So, what does the Lord want to provoke us this year? Do more for God. We want to do more for God. Now, today I want to read something that I already read to you, and I've already talked to you about this, but I'm going to read it again. How about that? You know why? Because I don't trust the memory of the flesh. I only trust the memory of the Spirit, right? So I pray that the Lord will stir up the remembrance in you today. And I want to turn to Malachi chapter 3. And I want to read this, because Paula was just thinking about this, but I'm going to bring out a certain mindset that I brought out to you before, just recently. Wasn't even that long ago. Malachi chapter 3. And I'm going to actually start reading in, let me find it, verse 6. Malachi 3, verse 6. And I want you to pay close attention to these things, okay? For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Why does he say that? Now listen, pay attention. Malachi is a book that is written by a prophet. It's the last book of the Old Testament, and it is a book that deals with the people of God. They got delivered out of Egypt. God took them through the wilderness. God gave them a promised land. And all of that time, were they unfaithful a lot? They were unfaithful to do the right things. So enemies came in, took them, brought them into another land, took them into captivity, put them in bondage again. Then the Lord says, I'm going to deliver you again. So He delivered them, took them back to their land that He gave them, helped them rebuild their walls because their whole city was destroyed by the enemies, rebuilt their walls, rebuilt their temple, rebuilt their house of God, rebuilt their whole city and gave them their land back. But while they were in this land, the people of God always did the same thing. And what was that? They went after everything other than the desires of the Lord. Now, let me ask you something. Is that group of people any different from the group of people we have today? Is there still many, many, many desires that tempt you away from the Lord your God? True? So we come here every week and online, and we talk about the Word of God that will save us and help us. But we don't do it like we did years and years ago, where we beat everybody over the head and said, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're going somewhere else. Where's that? To the fire. And we'd scare everybody into serving God. And then I noticed many times it wasn't genuine. So when the Lord began to talk to me a lot about certain things, He said, no, that's not really the way I want to do this. I want to do it the way I sent Jesus to do it, and that is teach everybody how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if they do it, if they bring something back to me out of love, that is that sacrifice that I'm looking for. I don't want... This is the Lord. I don't want to be a king over a bunch of people that I have to beat over the head and make them serve me. Teach them how to love me. And that's what Jesus did. He taught everyone how to love God by getting at the Word of God in your heart. What do you think the Word of God does to a dirty heart? It cleanses it, washes it, purifies it, right? So what have you been coming here to do? If you're stressed about being purified, just keep coming and hearing the Word of the Lord. Because the Word will purify the heart. And that's as simple as it gets. So that's what we do. So back to Malachi. Malachi is now a prophet who's dealing with a people who are living in their land. They're going to church. And yet they still struggle with enemies. They still struggle with desires. They still struggle with marrying themselves to the wrong thing, the wrong wife, the wrong husband, that mindset, you know, anything that's other than God. And so this prophet comes in and says, let me tell you what the Lord says. The Lord is going to help you return to Him and stay faithful. And that's what the Lord is after. And so here we're jumping in the middle of that, and we're reading this verse where it says, I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed. What does that mean? Somebody tell me why he would say this like this. You are not consumed because I do not change. Everybody listen now. Why would he not consume you? Because he made a covenant with you that said you're going to live forever. And I'm the Lord, and I don't change, and I don't lie, and I don't leave my covenant. I am the same. Imagine God, in all of your wickedness and sin, the Lord saying, I'm not changing. You know? It's kind of like in the good old days, the women, I've said this before, but the women used to ride in the pickup truck right beside their husband. And later in life, she's sitting over by the door and she looks over and says, why don't we sit beside each other anymore? And the husband says, I'm not the one that moved. I'm still sitting in the same seat. You're the one sitting by the door. That's how we act toward God sometimes. The Lord's driving the truck. We sit all cozy next to Him. And then all of a sudden we just drift away. And then we're wondering, why aren't we sitting together? And the Lord says, I've been here all the time. I do not change. I made a covenant. Let's go.
He's a foundation. Someone's
got to
drive.
He is. And we thank God that when all else fails, God will not fail. Have you been thankful that you've been able to at least return to the Lord many times because you left Him many times? At some point, though, does that leaving the Lord stop? Amen. You know why? He said it would. He said it would. And that's why the continually coming to the house of God and receiving the words of God, that's why you do it. Because you're learning how not to leave the Lord. And it's not a work. It's not like something you got to focus on. Don't leave the Lord. Don't leave the Lord. When He changes your heart, you don't want to leave. My goodness. Everybody has experienced love in some degree. Your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your spouses, your friends, you love, and when you love somebody, you don't leave them, do you? It's only when you stop loving them. Let me finish reading this. Everybody got that? I do not change, therefore you are not consumed. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Thank God He hasn't consumed us because His covenant is still true. So by the way, why do I keep going on about this? Because you're in a time where you're easily judged of your own flesh. In other words, you can condemn yourself by your own weakness of the flesh. And I'm saying, don't let flesh judge you. Let God judge you. If He says do something, do it. If He says don't do it, don't do it. If He If he tells you, I'm going to have mercy on you, then receive his mercy. If he forgives you, receive his forgiveness. And then give back to him what he's blessed you with. Does that sound good? That's pretty easy if you ask me. Okay, I got to get going. Verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. See, he's saying, I will keep my covenant. I won't consume you, even though you left me. But here's where I want to get to. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? That's a question. The Lord says, return to me, and you say, "What? How do we do that? In what way do we return?" I'm going to help you right here. How many remember this when I brought this up? Does anybody? Because this is very valuable. Very valuable. How do I return to the Lord is the question. Okay? God, in his wisdom, goes on in verse 8 to ask another question. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? He says, in tithes and offerings. Now, this is interesting because you know in this church that we're not just in the tradition of this is not a money sermon about tithes and offerings. What are we talking about with tithes and offerings? We're talking about sowing and reaping. We're talking about everything you get, you give. And you know, there's this thing going around in the, whatever you call it, the church, the world, YouTube, TikTok, whatever you call all that. People who are scholars, everybody wants to know, do I pay tithes and offerings? Do I give money to the church? And there's a lot of people saying, well, the Old Testament was very clear, 10%. But we're not in the Old Testament. You don't have to give anything now. Do you know what? A thief is robbing people to think that they don't have to give of themselves back to the Lord. In this church, we cannot think that way. Oh, we're not just about money around here. Matter of fact, when's the last time I talked and preached on money? I don't even remember. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all my heart, if I give myself to the Lord, I need to give everything. That doesn't mean every dollar you have, every shirt you have, every pair of pants you have, all your cars and houses. It means there is a part of my heart that if there's a need for God, I'm going to give myself to that need. And imagine a church that thinks like that, where it's not all on one person. You come together and you go, God needs something. I'm not going to rob God. I'm not going to sit here and take all his word and all his life and be so encouraged in my heart and then never give nothing back to God. Why would I do that? And then some people say, well, yeah, but all my giving is spiritual. Oh, okay. Well, good. Let's talk about that. Because I'd love to hear how you give back to God in the spirit. Come talk to me about that because I'm going to learn some things. So what I love about this is God is saying, return. Well, how do I return? Don't rob me. Be a giver. That's what he's saying. He's saying, be a giver. He said, the reason why you don't return and you leave me is because you're not giving back to me everything I've given you. How is it possible that God could take a people, put them in a land he gave them, a safe place, comfort and truth, and tell them everything on how to live, and then they deny the Lord and go off and worship other things and then refuse to serve God. How could that even be? Everybody's seen kids in this world that are treated very good, but yet they are very selfish and never give back. You ever ran into kids like that or people like that? They're takers. All they do is take. All they do is want. Everything's about them, right? Is that the way it is in the kingdom of God? Who does that sound like in Isaiah 14? Yeah, it sounds more like a Satan mindset. Whereas Jesus said, in the kingdom, everybody gives because we all give to the kingdom of God. And no one lacks in anything. Imagine having that mindset. Imagine that. Well, God's been teaching us that mindset. And so what I'm after you about is that we do not need to be a church that robs God from giving back to him, and that's it, everything. And listen, I'm going to be a principal of this myself in every way possible. Because even, let's just say this, you won't see my name on volunteer list. But say a couple months ago when these exterior doors need painting and they're starting to rust, who you think was here working for a week fixing them? Who you think it was? You know why? Because there doesn't need to be a record hanging on the wall of all the things you do. You just see a need and you get it done. That's what I'm talking about. Whether you give to the church, whether you bring a word of fellowship to someone else, whether you donate offerings and tithes to the church, if there's a need and God has it in your heart, what will you do? You'll take on that and give back. You know why? Because there's a need in the kingdom, and you, in your mind, you say, I will not rob God. Imagine that. I'm getting ready to recognize, not today, but all the volunteers that we use in the church, amazing. I'm amazed at them. But there's always so few. It's always the few doing everything. And that's the way it is in life, man. Life is full of the few doing the things. But I'm going to encourage all of us today. Let's get to work for God. If you want to be spiritual, get to work. You know why? Rick always said this. Rick said this. He taught us ministers at an early age. He said, and he was very stern about this. He said, if you don't tithe to the Lord, you will not be in the ministry. You know why he said that? He said, it ain't about money. It ain't about the work you do. It's about the intent of your heart. And if your intent is not to be a giver unto the Lord, you will never work the ministry. Imagine that. James, what did he tell you?
If you don't work in the physical church, what makes you think you'll work in the heavenly one?
Rick told James, if you don't work in the physical church, what makes you think you'll work in the heavenly one? Oh, you know why? You know why he said that? He wasn't trying to get a bunch of people doing all the work in the church. He knew intent. That if a person wasn't intending to work for God, they wouldn't do it in the kingdom either. Jeff told me one time, and I've shared this with you before, and it was so true. Years and years ago, Jeff Whedon, he told me, he said, you know, as you become pastor, he said, if you think that when you're not working a job, that you will give all this time to the Lord and think that you're just now going to all of a sudden fall in love with God and give yourself to God, it's not true. Because you bring the same mind with you into the things you do for God. You know that? That's true, isn't it? So you could take away your job, take away all your distractions, and guess what? You will create distractions. If you don't have the right intent, you will. And then you'll be telling yourself, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. Well, it's 9 o'clock at night. I'm too tired. I'll do it tomorrow. Or, like me and Marty talked about years ago, I don't know if you remember this, Marty, we laughed about this. Or you get to about 9 o'clock, you're dead tired, you lay in bed and you're like, my God, I should have read the scripture today. So you grab the Bible and you fall asleep. Which one is more profitable? If you start off the day with the right intent to serve God all day long or put him on the back burner? Which one? See, it's intent, isn't it? It's the heart. And I'm going to tell you, this is why I feel so confident that many of us can begin to do more works for God. I feel confident about this because God has put the right words in our heart. Don't tell me you can't. Uh-uh. Well, my knee's all busted out. My back is giving out. My head, something wrong with my head. Listen, excuses will go to the grave with you. But what you take to God and give to God goes to eternity. You hear me? What you give back to God goes to eternity. And that's what you want. And this teaching today is, yeah, it's to fire you up to get busy. Yeah. We're going to talk a lot about that coming up. But a lot of it is to judge the intent of the heart and say, let's see a division of the giver versus the taker. Oh, man, wouldn't that be awesome? That you join yourself with the giver. Say, no, I'm not going to rob God. Well, let's finish reading that. Let's finish reading that, and then we're going to get out of here. What verse am I on? Verse 8? Let me read that again. Will a man rob God? This is his answer to how do we return? You have robbed me, but you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Let me stop right there and say, what is the curse? What is he talking about? When you take from him? You mean kind of like what Adam did? You mean you're cursed with a curse? Didn't Jesus come to break the curse of Adam? So what is the curse he's dealing with here? Taking away from God when you're not supposed to? See, here's a good thing. The Lord has brought a word of God to us to teach us how to be a giver, to give and receive. Can you imagine the angels ascending and descending? Remember Jacob's ladder? Remember descending and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, the angels of God? How is your relationship with the heavens? Is it messengers of God ascending and descending, reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping? Ah. What do you think about a messenger showing up one day and say, hey, you've got an offering to give? Let me take it and present it to the Lord. And a messenger comes back and says, the Lord was well pleased with that offering. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? And then he says, you've been so faithful in your giving and receiving. Come with me. We're going to see the Lord. Now you can give them to him yourself. What do you think of that? See, some of you have been working this way. You come to me, or you come to Gary, or you come to Keith, and you give, and we give to you. And you sow and reap. But look, you keep being faithful. What's the Lord going to say to you? Come with me. You got a visitation at the throne. You don't have to go through Gary anymore. You don't have to go through Keith anymore. You don't have to go through Micah anymore. You could come join the Lord. And that'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? I hope you're as stirred up as I am. I hope everybody walks out here going, my God, I want to give everything I've got. Where do I start? We ain't even hit the new year yet. I know, I just got to plant this seed because we got to get through Christmas and New Year, right? Everybody hold on. I'm just a little busy. I'll start this after the new year, right? Does that start on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Because New Year's Day is on Thursday. You can't start the works of God on Friday. You got to go through the weekend and live it up. But everybody forgot Jesus. See, if you type out Easter, what are they? When did he start? On Friday? Uh-oh. You mean Jesus didn't take the weekend off, my God? Oh, man. Look, I'm having fun at the same time as, you know, there's always some truth mixed into fun, you know, and I'm poking at that whole humanity thing. But look, the Lord has been faithful to us. We need to give back. So is he faithful to break this curse? See, the curse only works when you keep robbing God. Imagine, he said, how do you return? Stop robbing God and you'll return. Because a thief will take it and run. A giver and a receiver stays in the same house and you share everything. That's God. That's the heavenly host. It's like, do you think the heavenly host is in heaven going, I don't want them earthly people to get anything, any of this? Or do the angels rejoice when one returns? Yes, they do. That's pretty awesome. Okay, I got to finish. Bring, verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. That's pretty good. Cup is overflowing. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of the ground. Aren't you tired of the devil taking your fruit? Here it is. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Basically, you're just going to keep reproducing fruit. You're giving and receiving. How could you not? Storehouse is full. The vines are full of fruit in the field. Where's their lack? These are givers.
Daniel, would that all be the curse too that God's?
Yeah, he healed the curse. Yeah.
That's all part of the curse.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Yeah, that's a good point, Megan. He's delivering all of this is the opposite of the curse. When Adam went out, the ground was cursed for his sake, and Adam had to work in the sweat, the works of the flesh. He had to work in the works of the flesh. God is saying, I'll remove all of that. This is going to be easy. All you got to do is give and receive, sow and reap. That's it. I think we're finishing up one more verse. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. My God, man. That is awesome. Okay. I've made my point. I've said what I needed to say here today. I encourage you. I need you to be thinking about this over the holidays. I need you to be thinking about this. And I want you to examine your hearts for the intent that works in you. You know, are you a giver to the work of God? There's a lot to talk about here. And we'll see what we do tomorrow night. We're going to be online tomorrow night, right? We'll see what we do tomorrow night, what we talk about, but if we don't even talk about this, I want you to be considering the intent of your heart and what kind of giver you are and what kind of receiver are you. Because there's an idea of a receiver too. You could receive the bad way in a wrong way too. So you could receive in a wrong way. You could be unsatisfied with what God gives you. Go ahead, Brad. You got a microphone?
I love what's going on here. This is awesome. And it made me even think of the parable of the talents because, yeah, it's on. God gave the talent. And what you did with the talent is very important. And just how you said, being able to be brought back to God is by that giving back. And he's making us faithful servants. This right here is making us a faithful servant, yes, unto his word and spirit. And he's going to reveal everything that is unfaithful, the taker. But the giver's going to come forth. He's showing us that faithful servant right now.
Right on. And that's what he's called us to be, you know. If you think about all this in the flesh, you're like, oh, what, I got to give this now, I got to give that. No, no, no. I'm not after that. You know what I'm at? What am I after? The heart. That's what I'm after here. Give out of the heart, man. You think we want somebody begrudgingly coming to work for the church and complaining the whole day? You think we want that around here? No. I'd rather you sit home and do your own thing. Make us all happy. Can I get away with all this? I'm trying to. I'm trying to get away with it all. But look, that's because you know what I'm after. And so I think if we keep coming and receiving the word of the Lord, God's changing the heart. And look, I'm not asking you for a lot. Not really. I'm just asking you to start paying attention and begin to give yourself to the things of God in every way. If the church needs something, let's do it. If there's Bible studies around and we want to give and partake in that, give in it. You know, there'll be things this year we'll be able to do this year. We're going to see more people speak the word of God this year. I'm convinced of it. So I just think the Lord's going to turn some things around in the heart this year. I really do. And so we're not going to put a theme on it, but we are going to emphasize the word of the Lord. Let's do more for the Lord. Does that sound good? James.
I wanted to read Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. To me, that is the most promising thing there. Because when you talk about sowing and reaping and the meditation upon your heart, if you keep your mind upon the Lord because you trust him, he'll give you. He's a giver. He'll put you in perfect peace. That's beautiful.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. The devourer, the enemy, the destroyer, he's gone. The Lord promised us he'd remove him, didn't he? So there's a lot to look forward to. And I'm telling you, I know this is true, man. I have seen the Lord do too many things. When the Lord puts something strong on my heart to do, it's going to happen. He's never failed it. He always does his word. So I'm going to watch some of you change some things in your heart. And it's going to be by the hand of God, the word of the Lord this year. So it's going to be pretty awesome. Don. There you go. Everybody hear that?
Yeah.
Even by being a doer of it, God will show you what your intent is like. Is that your point?
Oh, yeah.
You know from experience?
Absolutely.
See? This is what I like. This is where it's going to get good. Is we start testifying from our experience like, hey, I learned I had a bad intent. How'd you learn that? Because you told me to do something in the church? And there we go. We're off. That's good. I like that. That's awesome. All right, let's stand up.